The Giants missed a golden opportunity on this homestand. After they had all this momentum coming in, they drop each of their two series, one to the Pirates, one to the Orioles. A big part of it, their young rookie performer Schmidt and Patrick Bailey cooling off considerably, but help is on the way.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, including YouTube. Check us out there if you have not already, and please hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/lockedonMLB today to get 10% off of your first month. And coming up on today's show, we are going to be discussing how it was a very disappointing homestand for the San Francisco Giants, mostly considering that they were riding such momentum. And it was like, I mean, I remember saying after they won that first game against the Pirates of the series that they it was just an opportunity to stop this game where they're around 500, a little above, a little below. I mean, most of the season they were just below, but they got above and it was an opportunity to just take off and get away from that 500 mark. But instead they lose the next two to the Pirates. And then, I mean, they win 14-4 in game one. And then for me, as I said later on in the week, the second game where they lose 2-1 was the game that got away. And I will say the same thing about this Baltimore series. They lose the first game 3-2, and that was the one that got away. They have a great start by Alex Cobb in game two and win 4-0. And then they kind of get blown out in the third game. But twice they were facing, you know, the first game against the Orioles, it was a Logan Webb start. And, you know, the Giants had the pitching advantage, the starting pitching advantage, but they just couldn't kind of capitalize, just like they couldn't against in that one run game against the Pirates. And so those are two games you can easily win. And if you have two more wins right now, it looks a lot different. So anyway, it's really frustrating, but there's a ton of season left where, you know, we have over 100 games remaining. So there is time, and the Giants are going to Colorado next, where, you know, the Rockies are not a good team, and it's Denver, and it's obviously a tough place to pitch, but also it's a great place to hit. And so maybe some guys like Mitch Haniger, et cetera, can get on track, and maybe the rookies can get back on track, because something that we saw in this homestand to a large degree, maybe after that first game against the Pirates, was that Patrick Bailey and Casey Schmidt cooled off. And for Casey Schmidt, it's a continuation for me of just like an alarmingly high chase rate. And I've been talking about this a lot, but as of going into yesterday, and now it's gone up even more, he was leading the major leagues in chase rate. He's literally swung at over half of all pitches that are out of the strike zone. So just, if you tell me this pitch is going to be out of the zone, there's more likely than not Casey Schmidt will swing at it. And that's a problem. But it was interesting to hear some of the comments by Gabe Kapler after the series finale against the Orioles, where he made a comparison that I don't want to say I thought was crazy, but it's really interesting because he basically compared him to the guy on the Giants and even in the league who's like the best player in terms of plate discipline. So I'll just read you that now. He said, Kapler said, quote, and this is courtesy of Susan Slusser in the Chronicle. And he says, quote, "I do think there are some small adjustments that can be made at the margins that will enable him to go deeper into counts at times without taking any of his aggressiveness away. I think Lamont is actually a really good example of what can be ideal at the major league level, which is controlled aggression, being ready to hit, ready to get your A swing off. And if it's not in that zone, you're going to be a little bit more patient again. And so Slusser said in the article, this is not exactly how it reads to me, but that Kapler basically said he thinks that Schmidt can be like Lamont Wade Jr. And like Lamont Wade Jr.'s chase rate is like in the teens and Schmidt's is over 50%. And obviously that would be great. And I kind of understand where he's coming from. And is that in that Wade, like if he gets a pitch in his zone, he takes a huge hack at it and he has a lot of success with that approach. And if it's not in that zone, he just takes it. And so if Casey Schmidt could learn to do that, then the sky's the limit for him offensively. And also because he's so good defensively, the sky's the limit for him just as a player in general. Another quote from Kapler here, courtesy of Susan Slusser. He says, quote, "I think Casey's a very athletic hitter, so it enables him to get the barrel to a lot of different pitch speeds and a lot of different locations. Even when he was swinging and missing a little bit, he wasn't far off from making good solid contact. Now, pitchers are definitely going to adjust. You've seen them start to adjust. They're going to make him shrink his zone a little bit. I don't think it's a huge adjustment for Casey, but I think if he's able to zone in just a little bit more, pitchers are going to have to come to him. And when they do, I think he's going to be accurate enough with the barrel where he's going to punish them." And that is how I basically see it as well. It's like, if he could simply be like, I'm not swinging unless it's in this particular zone, whether it's the size of a baseball, or I don't think it's that small. It's like the size of a shoebox or something. And if he can just be like, if it's not there, I'm not swinging. And if he could learn to do that, it's that barrel accuracy, because it's like, even though he's chasing so much, he's only struck out 20% of the time. His zone contact rate is above average. So when he swings at pitches in the strike zone, he makes a lot of contact. And also when he's put the ball in play, he's managed a .351 batting average on balls in play. So despite the crazy chasing, we're not seeing a lot of strikeouts, and he's still been about league average overall offensively. You might be like, what? He's hitting .295, but he has just a .299 on base percentage, which is a crazy small differential between the average and the on base. A .432 slugging. So he hasn't hit for a ton of power, especially after the first couple games. But, you know, growing pains, right? I mean, this guy has barely any experience above the low levels of the minors. And so, I don't know. And then Patrick Bailey, he's a little bit more controlled at the plate, a little bit less aggressive. His chase rate is only 32% compared to like 52% for Schmidt. And Kapler said, I think pitchers have been making some really good pitches to Pat. There are some ebbs and flows in baseball, and we're not going to get too high or too low, particularly with our young players who are extremely talented and they're going to go through rough spells. That doesn't mean those times aren't challenging, but we're also not going to overreact to a sample of 20 plate appearances. So for Bailey, yeah, it was a rough series, but the at-bat quality is still pretty good, and I'd like to see him in Denver. I think this is a good opportunity for both players in just a super hitter friendly environment where, you know, breaking balls don't move very well, and so maybe you see these guys go off in Denver. And also what's going to happen in Denver is the Giants are going to get some of their guys back, because you're talking about these one run losses being crushing. To me, you're missing some of your very best players, and they are about to be back. So we will get into who's coming back and when and what kind of an impact I expect that to make in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. It's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know the part will fit or your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, here we go. We are going to discuss key players nearing returns. Like, we're talking about some of the Giants' most impactful hitters, and they have been out. And these one-run games could very easily go a different way when you've got Jock Peterson or Tyro Estrada or Michael Conforto in your lineup, but they haven't had that. Thanks again, by the way, for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Every day or tomorrow on the show, we'll be getting back into some of the, I got like 50 mailbag questions late last week, and I got to like five of them last week. So we've got a lot more mailbag questions to get to, and we'll be giving you updates on some minor leaguers. My goodness, Luis Matos continues to just have a phenomenal season, and now in AAA, man. So we'll get into all of that tomorrow. And the Giants played the Rockies. They've got these upcoming games on Tuesday at 5:40 Pacific, and you can catch every pitch of the Giants' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Giants on in the first game of the series. It's going to be John Brebbia opening the game, and they've got Tristan Beck back on the roster. Alex Wood went on the IL with a low back strain, and they've also got Sean Manaea. So it could be either Beck or Manaea probably following Brebbia, and that's what to look forward to in that game. So key players returning, I think, and by the way, we didn't even get to just Anthony DeSclafani was part of that kind of regression, not just in the last couple days, but over his last five or six starts, he's really not been anywhere close to as good as he was initially. So you don't love to see that, but I still think overall quality arm for the Giants there. But suddenly their starting pitching depth, which was supposed to be such a strength, is kind of not quite what they hoped it would be. But I want to talk about key players returning, because right now they have Tyro Estrada, Jock Peterson, and Joey Bart on the injured list. And in addition, Michael Conforto, he's not on the injured list, but he hasn't been playing with a heel injury that thankfully turned out to be less serious than they feared initially. He had an MRI and it came back clean, but he wasn't able to play for at least, was it the a lot of games? I mean, a handful of games there, he wasn't able to play. And so to miss Conforto, Estrada, and Peterson, those are like, Giants didn't face many, if any, left-handed starters. And so, yeah, maybe Peterson's not making as much of an impact in a game started by a lefty, but they faced righties and they were missing these guys. And Estrada was just kind of their iron man and their go-to guy for just kind of consistency at that second base position. And I think we saw a lot of Brett Wisely did not have a great homestand. And so anyway, the Giants appear to be facing Dinelson Lamet in this first game against Colorado. And so they expect to get Jock Peterson and Tyro Estrada to come off the injured list in Denver and hopefully in game one in Denver. So this off day coming at a good time, it gives them an extra day to kind of rest up. But Peterson, he made like one rehab assignment game played in San Jose, and Estrada, I don't know that he's played any games on a rehab assignment, but he hasn't missed that much time. He went on the injured list on the 26th of May and Jock Peterson on the 13th of May. So we're talking almost a month for Jock Peterson, and these are key guys in the lineup. And so I just expect that if you suddenly have Estrada back and you have Peterson back and Joey Bart, it remains like a big mystery to me if he's going to even be on the major league roster, because they've got obviously Patrick Bailey. They've got Blake Sable. You might think, okay, well, Sable hasn't done great defensively at catcher, but then where does he fit if he's not playing any catcher? You might say DH, but then Peterson's coming back. You might say outfield, but you've got a full outfield as it is. We can't find space for Luis Matos, who's tearing it up in AAA and looking like a potential stud, and there's not really room for him. And so some of you might be saying Mitch Haniger, but it's more complicated than that because they gave him a 3-year, $43 million contract or so, and he's got a long track record of being a plus hitter. And actually over his last 50 plus plate appearances, he's kind of been his old self, although he had a rough last couple games against the Orioles. But at full strength with Wade, Estrada, Davis, Conforto, Haniger, Peterson, and then you mix in Yastrzemski, of course, as well, who missed a game with a side injury that they don't think is very serious. And then the rookie Schmidt, Bailey, Crawford in the mix, Slater in the mix, Flores in the mix. So it's kind of Bryce Johnson and Brett Wisely who are probably the roster casualties there for Jock Peterson and for Tyro Estrada. And at full strength, I just think it's a quality lineup and an offensive kind of side of the ball. And so to get those guys back and to be in Denver, if those guys come back, which I think the expectation is that they will, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants just go off offensively in this series. And it's probably the perfect place for Mitch Haniger, who, you know, he's had trouble with kind of breaking balls. He's really hit fastballs well this season, but breaking balls and off-speed pitches have given him trouble. Well, in Denver, those pitches don't move as well. And so it's probably a really good place for him to hopefully kind of get on track and maybe hit some homers and get things going offensively. So it's key. I mean, the Giants have the depth that you don't so much notice when they're missing these guys. Like, they're still able to put together lineups that look major league caliber, even if not like great. But having them back makes it look really good. And those guys are close to coming back. And so, and hopefully Conforto, who didn't go on the IL, is able to just ease back in as well. So that's going to be huge. And the day off, I guess, coming at a good time. So coming up in just a minute, there was a quote, not just a quote, Farhan Zaidi. He went on the radio and he had something very interesting to say about the upcoming trade deadline, which is about 2 months away. But still, he said, somebody asked me the other day, do you think the Giants are going to be buyers or sellers? And I said 100% buyers. And Farhan Zaidi, does he agree or disagree? We'll get into what he said in just a minute. But first, all right, as promised, we're going to discuss what Farhan Zaidi had to say. If you're watching on YouTube and you're looking over my shoulder, I can never do this right, this way, you can see what he said. But if you're listening without YouTube, it'll be a little bit of a tease for you. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Every day or tomorrow on the show, a mailbag episode. We've got lots of great questions left over from late last week. And then updates on minor leaguers. How's Kyle Harrison doing? How close is he? What about Keaton Wynn, Luis Matos, Vaughn Brown? Just so many minor league updates to give, and also just general questions to get to. The Giants play the Colorado Rockies in their next game on Tuesday at 5:40 Pacific. Denelson Lamet, who's not had a ton of success. This is a series, if you want to be a serious contender, this is a series you got to win. I mean, I always say that, and it's like, it's so early. You have 100 plus games left. There's no must-win games at this point, but just go out there and win a series. And so game one will be critical. Get that first win out of the way, and then it puts you in a much better position moving forward. So anyway, you can catch every pitch of the Giants' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Giants. So what did Farhan Zaidi had to say? Well, he joined this radio show with Jim Bowden on MLB Network Radio. It was the award-winning front office show. And Farhan Zaidi said that he envisions the Giants will be, quote, aggressive at this year's trade deadline to try to get them into the playoffs. And I saw somewhere else a more kind of specific quote, but I don't have it pulled up here. But basically, what he had to say was that they are highly motivated. And within that clubhouse and within that organ, like within the walls of Oracle Park, the front office, within the clubhouse, the team, the coaching staff, the players, they believe this is a playoff team. And the way they played before this homestand, it's hard to argue with that. And like I said, they were missing a lot of key guys. They had some of their rookies go through their first rough spells. They've got more young talent on the way in the form of Harrison and Matos and others, Keaton Wynn. And so it's not hard to see the next 100 and, you know, about 100 games remaining going well for the Giants, but they've just got to get it done. And so it might come down to, okay, how do things look at the trade deadline? And for them to be aggressive, I mean, like they were in 2021, they went out and they got Chris Bryant. It didn't cost them all that much in terms of trade capital. And so, you know, in terms of who's out there this summer, we'll have to do a deep dive. Obviously, the big fish is Shohei Ohtani, but I don't think the Angels at this point are going to trade him. Given that they're in contention, I guess they could lose like 30 out of their next 40 games and maybe they just decide to trade him, but he would be the big prize. And the reason he's a candidate is because he's a free agent at the end of the year. That's what makes guys the most likely candidates to be dealt, is when they're impending free agents. But those who think the Giants should be selling, I mean, there's a case to make that you make some moves that I alluded to this the other day, but like the move they made last year to, quote, sell Darren Ruff to the Mets was also a buying move, and that what a heist that ended up being. They got JD Davis and three prospects in return for Darren Ruff, who, look, I love Darren Ruff and he was a great Giant, but JD Davis has ended up being much better and one of the Giants' best players and like looking like an all-star. And Darren Ruff, the Mets cut him loose, even though they still owed him money, and the Giants picked him up for nothing. And since he's moved on to the Brewers, but still, if they make any selling moves, it's kind of going to be to create room for someone else who seriously deserves a role, i.e. maybe like a Kyle Harrison. But aggressive buying, we'll see what that means, but it's just certainly interesting when your president of baseball operations, who's done it before and just has a really good track record with trades. I know everyone freaked out about Prelander Baroa, but still the guy he's not considered a top prospect by prospect evaluators, and Donovan Walton was hurt when he was here and blah, blah, blah. I just think it's ridiculous to get too worked up about that trade at this point. Baroa looks to me like a reliever. He has serious command issues. And so we'll see. But the track record of Farhan Zaidi in trades has been really, really good. I mean, I mentioned the JD Davis, Darren Ruff trade. Lamont Wade Jr. was acquired in a minor trade. They gave up Sean Anderson, who's now pitching in Korea or something. Mike Yastrzemski was acquired for Tyler Erb, who still hasn't made his major league debut. Tyra Estrada was acquired for cash. And so they've got a good track record. They got Chris Bryant. So, you know, that was aggressive, getting Chris Bryant. And we'll see if something like that is in store for the Giants in 2023. There's huge motivation. They do not want to miss the postseason. And so that's a good thing for the fans, because the fans, I don't want to see them miss the postseason either, because I want to see the Giants play good baseball and get to the playoffs and do well in the playoffs. So we'll see what they do. And certainly as the next month and a half plus plays out, we will talk more and more about the trade deadline. But typically things don't really happen until right around the deadline. And so we'll slowly ramp that discussion up as the weeks go by. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Every day or tomorrow in the show, mailbag questions and minor league updates. And the Giants' upcoming game, their next game is in Denver against the Rockies at 5:40 Pacific. bullpen game for the Giants, but still, they've done well in those scenarios. And Sean Manaea has been really good out of the pen, and Tristan Beck is back. And you can catch every pitch of the Giants' hometown broadcast with SiriusXM on the SXM app. Search Giants. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspick. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspick, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot. So thank you in advance, and thanks to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked on Giants.